Were you travelers before you met each other?
Oh, I definitely was.
I was not. I went to Baltimore. That's it.
Baltimore.
A whole 30 minutes? What was that? Yeah. 30 minutes away?
In South Beach. I think that was those were the three places that I would go.
And where? Thailand?
So you was...
Oh, all right. I went to Thailand. That was probably like the big... At that point, that was probably like the biggest trip that I had ever taken before I met her. Yeah.
To start a business. Jovi, what about you? What were your travels prior to meeting?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, people always say like you work to live. I say I work to travel. A tragedy. This the stuff of fairy tales and majesty. Magically, like I pulled you out of hat, pull you out of bag from out of mag if you want that. Pull up in the slab and pull off with you in my lap. Top down.
Hey, welcome to Travel Tuesday Happy Hour, where we interview dope people doing dope things from around the world. And as y'all can see, I still have my amazing co-host. Can you tell the people who you are?
I'm his fiance. I'm Jackie.
Okay.
Jacqueline Jackson, soon to be Benjamin.
And we are accompanied by an amazing couple. Tell us who you are and where you guys from.
Sure. We are the Dow Dudes. My name is Javon. And this is my hubby D, or Dane Day. We are from Jersey. But how do you want to tell a bit more about yourself?
Yeah, I'm Dane Day. I'm D, from Washington, D.C., around the Washington area. So, yeah.
Okay, so Dane, can you pronounce it for me again?
Dane Day.
Dane Day. Where is that from?
Nigeria.
Nigeria.
Okay. He said that like, why don't you know?
A little country you know, called Nigeria.
You want the people to see we got people international on the show. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, okay, you got flavors. So, international flavors.
Exactly. International flavors. You don't like the creamer in your coffee. You know what I'm saying?
All kinds.
So, DC meets
Jersey.
Yep. Okay, tell us how that happened.
Yeah. You want to do it, babe? Or you want me to do it?
You can do it. Come on.
All right. So we actually met at a really good friend's 30th birthday party. Mm-hmm. I guess I shouldn't have said the number because she probably might know, but a birthday party, a milestone birthday party in DC. And it was at an apartment, like a luxury apartment complex. It was kind of
in a penthouse. It was actually at the penthouse. Why are you trying to dumb it down?
I'm not trying to.
It was swanky as heck.
But the point is, we danced, it was a small intimate affair. He is my friend's, I call brother-in-law's best friend, right? So he's a friend of the family. And my song came on, which is Candy. I didn't know it at the time, but I knew I was just jamming. I was like, oh, what is the name of the song? And I was talking to his friend. I was like, what is the name of it? And of course, D, he's a music lover and he knew, you know.
Candy. And then we Candy just, by Cameo.
We just started vibing, you know, and then the rest is history, right? From that point.
Yep. We've been together ever since.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
So wait, that's you know, a conversation is not a relationship starter. So tell me a little bit about like who said the first, oh, I'm interested, or who exchanged numbers with who? Like how did it play out? Come on, tell me the goods.
So me and this woman, I mean, I was kind of like an instant attraction vibe was going on. There was some alcohol going on as well. some salsa dancing, some pool playing. I mean, the place was swanky. It had a pool table. It was overlooking like Washington, D.C. You could see the monument from the place. I mean, it was a really, really beautiful place. And it was catered. It was all kinds of stuff going on. But, I mean, it was a wonderful night. And, you know, we just started talking and vibing. And, you know, she asked me like a million questions, you know.
Oh, yeah. I needed to know the good stuff. I needed to know if it was worth my investment. Because I was living in New York at the time. And I was like, okay, we're vibing, but, you know, is this someone, you know, I want to be involved with? And I was like, at the end of it, I was like, I'm not so sure. I know he was a great guy and I know we had a great vibe, but long distance is not necessarily something I go for. So we talked on the way home, I think for like 4 hours, right? On the way home.
That was the next day. So basically what happened was she at the end of the night, like 2 in the morning, I won't tell you all the details, but we exchanged numbers and she invited me to a brunch the next day. So I was excited. Like, man, I met this girl. She was dope. And, you know, 12 o'clock comes around and I don't get no phone call. And 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock. And so anyways, long story short, I think I called her at like 10 o'clock. I was like, yo, why didn't you call me to come to the thing? And she was like, I was disappointed. I was disappointed you didn't come. I was like, you were supposed to call me. So it was a miscommunication. And anyways, long story short, she was taking the bus home and we talked the whole time. So she uh-huh. you know, all the way till when you got home to New York, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's missing the part where he was supposed to go. Like, we had already agreed he was coming the next day.
Just lies.
So he didn't necessarily, like, I thought he was coming. I put my lipstick on and everything.
I'm not a forward guy. And you know what? I wouldn't put myself out there like that. If I'm not invited, if somebody says, hey, you know, I'm going to call you, I'm thinking I'm going to be invited. I can't just crash the party, show up looking like a stalker. No, I'm not coming.
So clearly,
smart man.
We still have this debate. But the point is, we started talking and we just, you know, we started vibing from there. And then eventually he came.
I came to New York.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Nice. So amazing. Because, you know, you mentioned taking this bus ride out back to New York from D.C. or back and forth. Right. Mm-hmm. Did you guys travel before meeting each other a lot, or how was travel for you guys?
Were you travelers before you met each other?
Oh, I definitely was.
I was not. Went to Baltimore. That's it.
Baltimore.
A whole 30 minutes. What was that? Yeah. 30 minutes away?
In South Beach. I think those were the three places that I would go.
And where? Thailand.
So you was.
Oh, okay. All right. I went to Thailand. That was probably like the big at that point. That was probably like the biggest trip that I had ever taken before I met her. Yeah.
To start a business. Jovi, what about you? What were your travels prior to meeting?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, people always say like you work to live. I used to say I work to travel. So I remember my last year of college, I was I'm part of the Jack Robinson Foundation. You get a scholarship for graduating with a pretty high GPA. So anyway, I took some of those dollars and I saw this great trip on Groupon to go to Paris. For 7 days, 6 nights, can't believe it, including breakfast for $700.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Like flight, breakfast, hotel.
Would you do that again?
Of course I would.
In 2022?
But yes, I would.
For $700.
Yes, especially now that the economy's great. But the point is, I went to Paris. I didn't grow up traveling like that. It was something, you know, we would go to Florida, but never anywhere international. And I remember being there and looking at the Eiffel Tower and telling myself how incredible this was and how lucky I felt. And I said, I am going to travel internationally every year from this point forward. Wow. And it changed my life. It changed my perspective. And I was like, okay, by the time I'm 30, I need to fill up my first passport. And so from that moment on, I always made sure I did at least one big trip internationally, someplace I haven't been every year. So by the time I met this man, I was like, listen, traveling is part of my DNA. Like, either you're going to be with it or we can't be together. But it wasn't necessarily an ultimatum, but it's a fabric and a core of who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You sound like Paige when we met. But his was more like either you're going to get with it or you're going to get left. So...
Right. I'm direct. No, she turned me on to traveling. I mean, I think the idea of traveling was, you know, fun. But I mean, I didn't really, it just wasn't part of my lifestyle. What's this word when people, I can't think of the word right now.
Don't worry. You'll figure it out as we go.
Yeah. But I mean, it just wasn't a thing that I wouldn't say aspired to do. It just was not really a thought.
So as a kid, their parents
traveling, it was always practical business.
So as a kid, your parents didn't threaten to send you to Nigeria with your grandmother or something like that?
Yes, they did many, many times, but I figured out about the age of 13 that my mom was lying and she could never survive It was lies. She couldn't go back.
But it was a credible threat up until 13.
Oh, no, she scared out of me. Oh, yes. Absolutely. I did not want to go back there. My cousins went back. You know, it wouldn't see them for 5 years. They come back with accents and just sounding weird. Mm. Yeah, no, I was not trying to.
So have you been, though? Have you been to Nigeria?
Yeah, I went to Nigeria once when I was like 8 years old. That was the last time. Then I was actually supposed to go with my sister, 2019, I think we were supposed to go.
For a wedding.
But we didn't. We wound up not going to my cousin's wedding. But my sister went.
Do you remember that experience?
What
about that experience that threat was so credible till you were 13?
Oh, it was wild. So where my people live, they live in Lagos, and I just remember iguanas. My grandmother lives on the outskirts of Lagos, so they were like iguanas. I was like terrified of iguanas. They looked very scary, but the kids were playing with them in the neighborhood. I think I got a quarter worm, and that was wild. Yeah. They pulled it out. It was crazy. Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay. You was drinking the water. They didn't tell you not to drink the water, huh?
No. But after that, it was fine. I mean, Nigeria, it was beautiful. I mean, I really liked the place, and the food was really good. The milk was the best milk that I've ever drank in my life. So, yeah. Straight from the cow. It was delicious. I was like, wow, this is sweet and delicious. It was like milk that they had. It was good.
Do you guys remember the first trip that y'all went on together?
Yeah,
we went to Prague. No, London. I came to see you in London, right?
But Prague was the first place
Prague is the first place that we like got on a plane together and went somewhere.
Yeah, so I'll give you the backstory. So we had been dating probably for 8 months. And then I knew for me, like when we started, I was like, I want to work internationally. And this great opportunity presented itself to do like a 1 year sort of exchange. And so I went there, and actually Jackie came and visited you, went to Paris. And every time someone came to visit, they only want to go to Paris. I was like, okay, I love London, let's see it. And they want to go to Paris. And I knew that this was like right before Valentine's, it's for Valentine's Day. And I had been there probably about almost six months. And I was like, I got to go somewhere different. Because when I was in London, I said, I have to be very intentional while I'm here and while I'm earning pounds. Right, to go to Eurozone so my money can stretch further and I can see more of the world. And so I went to Prague and I was like, okay, babe, I heard Prague is amazing. It's beautiful. And I'll tell you, and you can talk about the trip, but that's when I realized this man is special, because when we arrived in Prague in the plane and it says it's a negative 17 degrees and we had no idea it was gonna be that cold. No. And he smiled and didn't put up a fuss the entire time. He just went with it. And I said, any man who could like ride with me in like negative 17 degrees is a man that like I should really consider for a longer term. Yeah.
Oh wow. So that's what it was?
Yeah.
My ability to
It's your survival tactics.
It was a great trip, but it was cold. I think that was probably the coldest place I've ever been in my life, other than Montreal, Canada, and both of them in like the month of February that I went. So, I mean, it was extremely cold. I mean, we were like right by the Charles River, I think.
What did you love about it? Because we always.
What did I love about it? Yeah. Oh, I mean, it was amazing. I mean, you were in Europe. It was very European. It was very foreign. And, you know, there was no like McDonald's or, you know, I mean, it was very European. And, Prague Castle was dope, like the history of Prague Castle. Charles River is very beautiful. I like the dumplings. What was it? We had dumplings. What was it? Goulash or whatever it was? The food was good. Food was good. Everybody was kind of stylish, you know? Yeah. It was very, really, really stylish. So I thought Prague was great. I want to go back, but I want to go back in like the spring.
Okay. <Everybody, laughs>
beautiful and nice and warm and enjoyable. But I mean, it was still a very enjoyable trip. We had a lot of fun. Just, you know, me and her just being together and laughing and eating and drinking and talking trash and just, you know, experiencing.
Funny thing is, we put on together. you know, this is our first trip together someplace different, right? You know, your first trip together as a couple, you bring some cute outfits. You're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna lean into this, even though it's wintertime. But because it was so cold, we had to put on every layer. So literally, like every outfit that we wanted to separate, it was like, no, just put it on and layer and layer. And then I remember we we had reservations to go to this restaurant.
Was four doors down.
No. We ended up at the one. It was like two blocks.
Oh yeah.
And we stood at the edge of the hotel, you know, the inside of the doors, and we were like counting to ourselves. Okay, one, two. Are you ready?
Yeah.
We couldn't even make it halfway down the street, and it was so cold. We saw a restaurant. We're like, yes.
We made it to the fourth door, if you can imagine. And the thing is, it was so cold. Like when you inhaled, I swear to God, I felt the crystals forming in my lungs. It was serious. It was that cold. Yeah, I've never experienced other than Montreal, Canada. I've never experienced anything like that. That you inhale and you're like, yo, this might be bad.
So that was the first one, and I love how y'all said the best parts, your favorite parts of your first trip. But what was your favorite trip together?
Oh, our honeymoon, the Maldives. our honeymoon. Hold the whole trip. So that was like Athens, Mykonos, Santorini, and then we ended it in the Maldives. Then we came back to Athens and then we flew back home. So that was like 2 weeks. That was like 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Two and a half weeks?
A little over 2 weeks.
So that's probably like the most incredible trip of all time. Yeah, that was hands down.
Same. Okay. So your favorite. Hers and his, the same favorite.
Right. Because you know what it is? Two things. One, I'm like the vacation planner of the family, right? When I thought about honeymoons, a lot of times people take 2 weeks. So, you know, when people are thinking about this honeymoons, when you realize that you don't want to necessarily be in a beach for 2 weeks alone, like you might get bored, right? There's some good things to do, right? Mm-hmm. You're alone is your honeymoon, but then you want to see things. And so we're like, okay, how can we know the Maldives is like 24 hours is really far, but do we want to be there for 2 weeks? Probably not. How can we put in a bit of culture, right? So we can go see something, learn something, and then balance it off with also beautiful. We also thought about, or I thought about, like, how do I elevate the experience every time we go? So every hotel, every room, everything was nicer. So by the time you ended the trip, it was a crescendo. And so it's like, So that was the notion of why it made it better. And usually we don't splurge. Like we splurge on every hotel. Every room. I mean, and not every meal, but the experience kept getting better. It was almost like I was unwrapping a present. And I'll tell you, a lot of times, like I have these, I'm a person who has like big visions and they don't always come true. But I remember when we got into our
bungalow
in the Maldives, because I've always dreamed, not always, but you know, you meet people who travel, and I wanted to be in a room in the middle of the ocean that has a pool. And I want to look out. And I remember getting there and wondering if it was going to be as nice as I seen all these photos. And it was. And I literally did a happy dance. Like, you know, I was cool when the guy showed me around. Oh, welcome. I was like, oh, yes, take my champagne. And then he shut the door. And I was like, oh, my God, this is real.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was off the hook.
And it was great when, because sometimes, like, you don't always plan something and achieves a vision, and that had exceeded it. So for me to see the culmination of that, you know, for us to, you know, first time we're man and wife, and you know, I'm seeing, you know, Mrs. Dowdy, Miss, you know, like on the doors.
It was amazing. Yeah, that property was crazy. We stayed at the Finalu. It was ridiculous. Like we had our own private infinity pool, but the infinity pool actually went into the ocean. And if you chose to, there was a ladder on the side where you actually could just climb down and go into the ocean. The ocean was so clear and warm. I mean, it came up to a, like maybe waist high, but you could see everything in there. So you see like fish and stuff like that. And the infinity pool was the same temperature, which I think was probably like about 77 degrees as the temperature outside. So you could jump into the pool and there was no shock. You know how you usually jump in a pool, like you got ease in? No, you jump in, jump out. No, nothing. I've never experienced that before. It was perfect.
I encourage anyone who hasn't been to go. I will tell you one thing I remember is in the hotel, they take you, there's like a private beach, you then they like transport you over to have a meal.
Oh yeah.
And I remember crying and lunch, right? Yeah, so I'm in this remote place. There's like, I mean, there's probably 50 people that are probably staying at this resort at the time. And they had just got paid. That was like blasting in the background, right? While I'm eating like lobster. And I remember I FaceTimed my parents.
Ain't nothing going on but the rent.
Oh, ain't nothing going on the rent. Yes.
They played that.
They played that song. And I was like, wait, how am I all the way across the world?
24
they are playing this music that reminds me of my family. And I remember I teared up, I cried, and I called my parents and I said, you know, to be a Black woman, to be a Black couple, being this, like to be in this kind of luxury and to feel how far we've gone. I said, you know, and for me, like I made that commitment to myself. I said, we are going to bring my parents back. Like, we are going to celebrate our anniversaries together here. So their anniversaries is 2 days before ours, and they're going on their 46th year. But I said, like, I want to make sure that before my parents leave this earth, that they have experienced that kind of place that felt other.
Yeah, that was kind of surreal. Like when we, that was the best lunch I've ever had in my life. So they basically, and we're talking about clear blue waters that are just unreal. You feel like you're in a postcard. They basically, they picked us up on this really long dock. So you just walk all the way down this dock. I think they had like an umbrella. They take you there, escort you there. They put you on like this really like slim boat. And they take you over to this private island where they had like lobster and all kinds of crazy stuff for us. And they had it in these like traditional like bowls or whatever. It was just beautiful.
With Black music in the background.
Yeah.
See, dope. That's the thing that was dope.
Yeah, it was dope. It was dope. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And then everything about it. Like, I think they had One Oak. I think One Oak was the club from LA. They had that there. I think the day before Paris Hilton was DJing there. I mean, the property is just amazing. They take you on like little like tuk-tuks, like they just ride you around, you know, to your bungalows. So somebody just picks you up on one of those little paddle, like a bike / whatever it is. This is cool. And food was amazing. Mm.
So you guys built up this crescendo of a honeymoon. Do you guys still have like a bucket list of places to go? Because it sounds like you set the bar high.
Yeah. The other thing we were thinking, our other alternative to that was the Seychelles. So I definitely want to go to Seychelles. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about maybe doing a Seychelles, Vietnam, Philippines type situation because they're kind of all around that area.
Yeah. So we also want to go back to Thailand. So we've been to Thailand separately.
Yeah.
And so one thing Dee didn't mention, I don't know if I think I've mentioned this before when we first met, but I remember that first conversation. Cause you know, as a woman, you're always, for me, my mind's always listening and asking questions and just like, okay, is this going to work, not work? And when he told me that he had moved to Thailand because he wanted to start, you know, a fashion company and wanted to, you know, to build distribution, I was like, okay, wow, this is a man that had a vision, is willing to go. But also, even though he doesn't travel on a day-to-day perspective, the fact that you're willing, you spent a month in Thailand, didn't speak the language, like you just went there and made it happen. I said, okay, that's the kind of guy who can travel.
I'm crazy.
And separately, I had gone to Thailand years, you know, separately. So we want to go back together. So our vision is when we go back to the Maldives, we're going to go through Thailand. So we can like have that experience together and then go. We also talk about going to Ghana.
Yes.
Ghana is one place you want to do together. Yeah, Southeast Asia. And then my new vision, because I've been to like different countries. Like I like seeing the countries through his eyes, but I always like to try to add something new to it to bring some newness. But I want to start being able to spend like 3 weeks or like 2 weeks and where I'm actually with the people, right? So like the first time you go, you travel and you visit the sites. But now I want to go to Italy and rent a house like in the country. And I want to learn how to make pasta. Like I want to like be in the local community, go to the, like be one with the culture. Mm. So I think that would be nice as even if you're revisiting new places, you're having a completely different experience.
Yeah. Mm. That's a kind of like we went to Punta Delgada. In the Azores, or the Azores, as I guess the locals say. So that's like an island off the coast of Portugal. And we kind of did that. Even though we stayed in a hotel, it was a very, we got really pedestrian, you know, we kind of went out and hung out in, you know, where the locals were at. We went to the, like local bars and a little local like hangout club. And restaurants and stuff like that. And it was really, eye-opening, I should say. Like, you know, it was definitely different than our usual, like, go to, like, some all-inclusive resort where you you get pampered and you kind of, you know, don't really get to experience the culture.
We hiked. We bought hiking boots.
Yeah, we bought hiking. We did a lot of good stuff. If anybody, I highly recommend Punta Delgada.
The Azores.
Like, a lot of people don't really know about it, but that is a dope place, especially if you're into nature.
If you're ecotourist,
ecotourist. Even if you're not into it, because I'm from DC. I'm not really into that, but it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful, like the microclimates, like for you to like, you know, start off on a beach and then go up a mountain and then there's a rainforest and then there's like, you know, it's cloudy or it might be raining, but then you come all the way back down the mountain and it's dry and hot. So pretty dope. Yeah.
How about you guys? What's your favorite place you've been? Can we ask you guys the question?
You can.
Favorite place? I will say my most memorable is, and I think it's my top one country to visit is Haiti. It's my favorite because she got to see it for the first time.
Okay.
And so we went to the nicest part of Haiti. So that was definitely an experience getting there and back. I'll just leave it at that.
I love hearing him say, I took her home to my country. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that coming out of his mouth. I took her home, you know?
Oh, that's dope.
So what's your favorite?
My favorite was Haiti.
Okay.
My favorite was Haiti. We got to, that was a highs and low. I don't even want to say lows because it left us with really good stories. But Haiti is going through and has been going through some unrest. Some civil unrest for some just causes. And there are some protests, but there were some protests happening when we were there. So we had extreme delays. There was a protest happening when we were on our way. We flew into Port-au-Prince and stayed at a really nice hotel in Port-au-Prince and then had set out on this journey to go to these islands off of the coast of Southern Haiti called Île aux Vaches. And that was just gorgeous. It was similar to what you were describing, just like really, really remote, intimate island. And we had villas on the beach, like your private villa was like your own little cottage, your own little home, steps away from the beach. Like you went outside, you had your few little steps, and then you were on the beach. It was great. It was great. And we had a 4-hour hold up because of a protest. So already a set out to be 6 or 7 hour drive turned into an 11-hour travel time because we got held up for 4 hours on the road. Yeah. So and similar to you, Jovi, that trip taught me a lot about Paige and his temperament. And he is really calm under pressure and really looks out to make sure I'm safe and I don't need to know everything. He just tells me what I need to know enough to keep me calm because he knows I'm easily excitable. So he was protecting not only like my physical safety, but my emotional safety too. So
that brings us to a good point.
Yeah. Like,
what have you guys learned about each other in travel?
Yeah, through travel. What have you learned about each other as a couple? Jovi, you said that you learned that D was like, okay, I'm gonna take things in stride and whatever comes, you know, that is how it's gonna be. But what else have you learned about each other that you wouldn't have learned if you hadn't traveled together?
I don't know. Have I learned anything about you that like, oh my God, this is something new? No, I don't think so. I think what I did learn is that we like a lot of the same things. And I think we are kind of kindred spirits. We do like to, you know, travel and experience new experiences. And we like to, you know, experiment, I guess, with foods and take in things and kind of explore. I think that's kind of what I discovered. I would say I even discovered about myself because I was like not real like traveler until I met her. So, you know.
But now,
yes. I mean, I'm like, okay, where are we going? Before it's like, you know.
You're always But don't think you're making me seem like as if you weren't excited for every trip. I think the thing.
No, I was excited for every trip. I'm just saying that I just needed a nudge. You know, it's not like, you know, I was like not the planner, but when she mentioned it or, you know, started planning, then I would get excited, you know, and then I started to look forward to trips, you know, and traveling. Then I started to get restless. Like, okay, when are we going somewhere? You know, yeah. So she kind of gave me the travel bug, you know. I think that's probably the, you know, one of the things that I've gotten from, I guess, traveling.
I would say it probably, I don't know if it's anything new, but I think it's stuff that it confirmed or something that it brought it more into perspective, right? So D is a very, he's a person you can kind of bring anywhere, but literally now that we've been all over the world and I've seen him build relationships and connect and navigate different languages, us, like, you know, different levels of comfort. And yet he's always cool and has this, and has, but also he builds like friends. Everyone always wants to like be around him. And so it's really nice to feel like your partner, that you can navigate life and you can take each other anywhere and still be okay. Right. And I think also like his love for learning, like, and even though he didn't travel as much, but he's always been a person who just absorbs information and has just been very curious. So to see that curiosity be piqued by different things, you know, whether we're in museums or whether we're in new people or eating new food, and to see his mind open, it's just like a beautiful thing to see, and to see that he's also thirsty for. And then also, you know, I think about when we first started traveling to where we are now, where he's like, Jovi, we gotta go. Like, we got four countries we need to go to. And now he's like the one, and I'm like, babe, we gotta do other things. Like, no, we gotta do this and this and this. It's a beautiful, like,
transformation
to see now who's the person who's,
or,
like,
or evolution. I've evolved. Yeah. Before I was like, why would you do that? You could buy some shoes. You could buy a new pair. How would you spend that kind of money? You put a down payment on the car. I don't know.
You can't take your money with you, but you can buy.
So it sounds like planning a trip has shifted from you planning a trip the whole time to now he's like, look, we need to go on. So is it? So there's a difference between planning a trip and suggesting where to go. So the suggestions seem to be a collaborative event. Who actually plans the trip?
Yeah.
Well, the last trip, I think, didn't I plan it?
Who's the planner?
Okay, I'm not going to lie. My wife is a planner. However, the last trip.
And what do you say?
Thank you, Jovi. You are the family planner.
Yes.
Because when I try to do stuff, it sometimes doesn't go all the way right. But I'm just saying, you know, I try now. So yeah. We went to the last trip I planned, Antigua. So we went to Antigua. I planned that trip. I thought that was fun, you know.
It was really good. It was my birthday. Yeah. He did a good job. But typically I'm the planner. But what we try to do is we talk about the location, but I love to travel. It's like in my soul. Like I can be up to 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning researching destinations, things to do, and I'm not tired. Right. He doesn't get that same level of energy. So it's also about figuring out, like, how do you balance each other? But we also don't schedule things all the way through. Right. It's just enough. So you have a hotel. You understand the top attractions, but you leave enough like leeway so that you can just be spontaneous.
Yeah, we will just sit at the pool for the rest of the day if we don't have anything planned. So,
pool bar.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I
like
me.
No, but we do. We are spontaneous. Like, we know what we want to do when we get. Well, a lot of trips have been group trips that are already planned down to the, you know, a science and whole itinerary. But Aruba, we left room and we, you know, we explored. And
we left enough room. We explored. We did. No, we really did. We it's hit or miss, right? So neither one of us are the greatest planners for trips. We have huge aspirations for things to happen. Mm. And then life just says, I don't feel like leaving today.
Or an edible.
Right.
One of the two.
Right. We were happy. Like one of our guests said, we were happy for a long period of time.
We were happy in Jamaica. And I think we lost a day and a half.
You know?
No, you gained it.
We gained it. Because both of us needed the rest. We needed to recharge and replenish.
Happiness. So. Yes.
Yeah.
Come on.
So that's you mentioned earlier you travel for culture, right? Like now you're planning on traveling for culture, seeing the sights as a local.
Yeah.
So as individuals, right? So I'll start with you, D, real quick. you know, as a Black man traveling the United States, right? You know, certain places you go, you get that look like, I don't know, you belong here or not.
Right.
Have you seen that? I mean, Thailand is a unique case because they welcome just about everybody, right? Have you seen that in your travel to, let's say, London and Paris? Because once again, you traveled without her. Did you experience any like hesitations to either approach or see you in a different light?
What's your traveling while Black experience?
I don't know if I've had overseas. I don't know if I've really had any bad experiences based on my race. Mm-hmm. I think I've encountered stuff here in America. but I mean, the places that I've been, I don't think I've really, and also I feel like, hey, maybe because I'm traveling with my wife, I think that kind of, you know, de-escalates things, possibly maybe unbeknownst to me, you know, so I don't know, but I haven't really sensed anything other than, hey, you know, these guys are foreigners, you know, but I haven't really experienced anything bad. I mean, maybe thank people God. Might be curious.
That's good. Thank
you. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, where are you from?
Yeah, you know, thank God, no. And I will actually tell you, it's part of the reason why I like to travel, because I get treated better overseas than I get treated in my own country. So that's why I don't do much American travel. First of all, your money goes further. A lot of people, so that's another thing. People don't tell you that, like, actually traveling to Cali or going to All-Star Weekend, like, you could be in the Maldives somewhere for 2 weeks, like, living your best life for the same amount of money. But no one tells you that information. But that's the second point. But the first point is just, like, I get treated so well. And now I do travel at a certain standard. Like, if I'm going to go, I want to, you know, live nice. I'm not staying at, like, the absolute best, but I'm staying somewhere. And it feels great. And I know sometimes it's because they feel like I have money and I'm a tourist of money. But you know what? It's great when someone says tourist, but like, I'm not afraid of you. Oh, miss, what can I help you with? Miss, sit, eat at my restaurant. You know, like versus here, people looking at you. Do you have enough money? People are following you. Like, I don't have to deal with that. And even when I went to, like, I was in Malaysia and Vietnam. And I remember, like, there is definitely, they had no exposure to Black people. I remember there was me and it was like three of my friends and we're all different complexions of Black, right? And there were these 60 guys on motorpeds and they were stopping at a light and literally we're walking on the street and I could see all their heads turn and stare at us. And like literally 60 heads and it was like a light. And I was like, oh wow, this is crazy. And this little girl came up to me. I was in a park. She tried to rub my skin and she wanted to see if it came off. But it was interesting because it was more about curiosity than it was about you are someone I should be afraid of. And for me, right. I'm okay with that, right? Because that's just talks about exposure. So I actually enjoy traveling while Black. But do you know what thing I have noticed, which is sad, is it's not traveling while Black, it's being an African-American traveling. Because I see how African people are treated in especially a lot of countries, especially in Europe, when they think that you are an immigrant versus when they think you are a tourist and they treat us completely different.
Yeah, I saw that in Spain.
So there are places where I actually purposely speak English so people can know. Yeah. And it's horrible that you have to navigate these nuances for them to then connect you with something else and then treat you properly.
Wow. Yeah. And the whole reason for asking this question is really to show that, like, the world sees us differently than we see ourselves, right? And when I say ourselves, America, right? As Blacks, as people of the diaspora, I mean, as you stated, we're treated differently or internationally. Unfortunately, the brothers and sisters from the continent get treated similar to how we are treated here, which is kind of sad, right? And so, you know, a lot of people don't know, right? If you don't travel, you don't talk about these stories. And this is why I really ask this question, is because, you know, we really need to hear that, hey, we're not treated the same when we go elsewhere, right? So that little kid that's never left his block in Queens or in Newark or in Northeast DC, they need to understand that, yo, this melanin takes you a lot further.
Right.
And they treat you a lot better when you leave these United States.
It's night and day. Yeah. And you know, it's so, I mean, listen, sometimes what stereotypes, you can use them for a benefit. And Dee's relatively tall. When we were, you know, in Greece, someone thought he was a basketball player. It's like, oh my God, yeah. who are you? And listen, I don't, I'll take that. That, you know, funny. if you want to treat me someplace and take me someplace, I mean, someplace good, you know, but like, you know, I'll take it, because it's just so nice when people expect good from you,
right?
You know, mm-hmm. they make
mm-hmm. positive stereotype.
And also the export of Black culture. I mean, when you travel, first of all, they know more about politics. I feel like, and I'll be honest, like more than I knew my own. They would tell me about American government and traveling during the Barack Obama era. Oh my gosh, it was the best. Oh, Barack Obama, I love your president. Come sit, eat, you know, or just like, oh, I love this music. It's almost interesting because they say like, they've heard this story about how we're oppressed here, that it's almost like, they're like, okay, you got out. Like, I want you to have a good experience. Like, I can't explain, but it's not like they say it in those words, but they're like, man, I know it's so hard, you know, being Black people, I see it and I'm so glad you're here. And it's just the way that they engage. It's also sometimes mindful, right? About their acknowledgement of our system. The other thing to take into consideration, and I've noticed as the more I travel, is the Americans are about race. Most parts of the world, it's about class. Mm-hmm. And again, now class and race, unfortunately, in a lot of countries, they still go hand in hand. But that's why people are able to switch, because they feel like you have you're at a higher class, you have money, you have status, you can do things. Mm-hmm. And so they treat you accordingly. So it's a very, when you see people moving in these different constructs, because every country has it, about the, you know, who they pay attention to, it's interesting.
So wait till you get to Africa. You will be floored. I mean, because the thing is, you know, it also depends on where you go. I'll just preface that, right? Mm-hmm. But I haven't had a bad welcoming to the motherland ever, right? Like, depending on where you go, they're going to haggle with you price-wise. That's, I mean, it's the cost of doing business, right? But when I say, welcome my brother, welcome my beautiful queen, sister, welcome king. Welcome home. Like, it's on a different level. Like, we both went to the Year to Return separately. And it was almost like, I want to say like Ghana was like going to Haiti. Because pretty much was going to Haiti, given the coast. But it was like, yo, like I made connections with people that I still talk to today, doing business with our people I met there till today. And so it was really one of those. And then when we talk about people being grateful, right? Like, I literally was giving the shirt off my back. The kid was like, all right, I'm gonna put it right back on and floss. Like, it was brand new. You know what I mean? And so It's definitely welcoming. I mean, once you guys go, like, you'll see a completely different world, because here there's been this contrived division between Africans and Black Americans.
Sure.
Right. And well, I'll just put it like this, between the Black Americans and the diaspora. Right.
Yeah.
And it's a concerted effort to keep us apart. Right. Sure. But I believe if we can get past that, I think we'll see so much, because when we go back home, when we go back to the continent, you don't see that. They see us as almost equal, right? And it's one of those things where when we're here, we're fighting each other. And then when we go there, it's like, hey, brother, hey, sister, what's good? I haven't seen you in a long time. You know what I mean? So that's something interesting that you'll see, because I mean, Dee, you'll know, like, your African family probably see your American friends one way, and your American friends see your African family one way. But once you go back, now that you're an adult, you have a different lens to see the difference in behavior.
I
grew up, you know, kind of, you know, with that dual culture, right? So you have, you know, at home, you have the traditional Nigerian, you know, upbringing, culture. And then obviously you got to go to school, you got to, you know, go outside, you grow up, you know, and you get the Black experience, you know, especially in Chocolate City. Well, it's Mocha City now, but you know, when I was, there is that divide, but what I've noticed of late is that it's being embraced now. And I maybe that's you know, I don't know, but I think, or through marriage, because I feel like, you know, growing up, you know, I would tell people, oh yeah, I'm Nigerian. Like, oh, my auntie's Nigerian, or my uncle, my auntie married a Nigerian. So somebody has a Nigerian in their family.
There's a lot of Nigeria, West Africa, and Ethiopia is heavy in DC.
Those are all my friends. So these are all the people that I've, you know, grown up with and know and understand their culture. And, you know, we all, you know, at least being first generation, we all kind of link, you know, and bond on those things. There's a big segment of us in you know, they had to go through that, you know, that whole cultural situation.
Growing up Haitian American Haitian American, American born, right?
Yeah.
It was one of those, I was getting African booty scratcher, but I was like, but I'm Haitian. Like, how does that work? Like, does everybody get this? Or
everybody, you know what I mean?
Except for the Jamaicans. The Jamaicans wasn't getting it. You know what I mean?
No. I'm old enough to remember they got it too. And then their music became really popular. Mm. Then they started killing people. And then
it's real, because it wasn't until I want to say like Zoe Pound or like Wyclef and the Fugees came about, or even a little bit past that, that people recognized what Haitians were.
And then I remember
one Labor Day, there were all these non-Haitians with Haitian flags.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, bro, what you do with a Haitian flag?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I was like, hold on, what you doing with a flag? But I think to your point, it is.
We've witnessed the evolution in our lifetime.
Yeah. Right. And it's amazing to see it, because it's now, you know, and I think it is the music, right? Because popular culture dictates the path of social social constructs now.
Yeah.
And
also exposure in general too, because it's music, it's food, it's proximity, it's, you know, living in movies. And
it's
that first generation though. So that's why I wanted to, I hate to cut you off. It's the first generation. It's us. Because now we're not a foreign concept. Where, you know, when I was growing up, you know, they had National Geographic. And we're like, oh, that's you guys. You guys ride tigers.
It took 30 years. It took 30 years for it to become accepted at this point.
It's your friend, or you're dating this girl who's Haitian or Nigerian, whatever. It's like, oh, you're just like me.
And then we're not teaching the next generation to be fearful or distrust or have this dissemination between members of the diaspora.
Because I think that's helpful too.
Because I think, you know, a lot of us, for our parents, it was like, oh, don't touch them, they're dirty. Or, you know, for, you know, other people looking at the United States or Black Americans, they're lazy. But then you come here and you experience something different. So you're not telling that narrative anymore.
Right.
I think it's also a couple of things, right? Like, so one of them is, you know, when we were younger, right, it was all about, there was this notion of assimilation, right? That was a cultural pull. Like, if you want to get ahead as Black people, you have to assimilate. So anybody else was not riding that train, or this notion of like, you know, I don't see color, right? This whole, right?
Yeah.
Which then is like, it's true. But what I'm saying is, so if you're not riding this very like narrow perception of like what you should be, right? Mm-hmm. Anytime you're other, if you have an accent, it really ostracizes you, right? But if you think about the last seven, 8 years, right? Where it's been more about appreciating difference and seeing who you are. It's become, I don't say we're cooler, but it has been to be unique and to be different and to share where you're from and to have a backstory. You know, like, it's so interesting when I meet friends and people are like, oh, where are you from? And I'm like, you know, I'm Black. I'm from here. Like, well, no, but tell me about your answer. I'm like, I don't have like this huge story that some people have. And I feel that's not an expectation, which is open up the world and allow people to kind of fly their colors. And to your point about music, like Afrobeat now, right? Like, we had it at our wedding and now it's so funny. Like, we hear it everywhere and everyone wants to do a feature. And so it was beautiful now to see not just an appreciation, because there was always up in the North, you know, in the North, like there was always Jamaican music. Like, there was always this whole Caribbean feel, right? Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the African feel, but now that there's like an African feel to things, I feel like people are really opening and wanting to learn more.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to bring back to your comment about going back to the concert, right? So I've been to like Northern Africa and like, I want to go to Ghana. I've heard so many amazing things. Right, I want to go to South Africa. I obviously have to go to Nigeria. This is where my, you know, my husband's from, my family's from.
My own family says, don't come. And if you don't tell nobody. Like literally my uncle just told me that yesterday.
That's
like,
Haiti right now.
He's like, if you go, I'll hook you up, but you don't tell nobody. You just go see who you need to go see. And then you get out.
Yeah.
Because they're kidnapping people right now. That's the new thing.
But I remember some friends telling me, some other Black friends, that they didn't have the best experience. So that's been, I tell you, that's the reason why I haven't been like fully gung-ho. They said like how they were expecting a welcome and they didn't get that. They were, they felt like other. And they wanted to be like, hey, my sister and my brother, like I'm home. Not like I'm home, but like I'm here and I just want to be. And they're like, no, you're not. So it's interesting. I'm glad you guys have had experience, and that's the experience I hope to have, especially, you know, as we go and really kind of tour the continent, not tour, but like experience it.
I think the Ghana being your first West African experience, you'll get that exact thing. I've never been to Nigeria. I do have Nigerian friends that say the same thing you'd say, D, is maybe not. Maybe not so much. Maybe not right now. Maybe just stay in Lagos, but then it feels like any other national major city. So yeah, I get that. But you're right, Jovi. It depends on where you go. And I think Ghana as your first one will be a good one.
But I want to say that as well, but keep your expectations
low.
Open.
Yeah. Open.
Right. Don't expect. It's going to be weird to say this, but don't expect anything from anybody, right? You know, and it's one of those things where, and for the listeners as well, is, you know, an experience isn't based on what you expect. It's based on what you experience, right? Because if you set unrealistic expectations, you're going to disappoint yourself.
Not to anticipate.
Right.
Yeah.
And so with going to, first perfect example, Morocco, you know, the country of the Moors, but it's predominantly lighter skinned Africans, or I don't even want to call it.
It's a mix between European and African. Right. Like that's what happened to Morocco. It's 7 miles away from Spain. So, you know, the Moors did the conquest of Spain, and then Española came, I mean, the Spanish came and pushed them out and took over parts of Northern Africa as well. So you get this marriage, this mix between African and Spanish culture, and you can feel it.
Yep.
And then the French came in for some time as well. So you have this French infusion. It's a lot going on. It doesn't feel like West Africa. Right. West Africa definitely feels different. But like Paige said, your experience everywhere. When I went to Morocco, I stayed at a Black owned hotel. And this woman, her father was from Senegal, and her mother was from Guyana. She was raised in France. And there was this mass, but because of Yves Saint Laurent and all the things that were going on, Christian Dior, a lot of inspiration was coming out of Morocco. So a lot of French came to Marrakesh specifically and created this culture. So created this French, Spanish, African experience. And so she hired all West African greeters. All the hosts were from West Africa, and our particular host was from Ghana. And so we got out of the cab. The first thing she said was, is this your first time in Morocco? We said, yes, our first time in Africa. She said, welcome home. So I do feel like Ghanaian, this influence of like, welcome back, come back. It's fitting that the year of the return, the events and the festivities happened in Ghana, because Ghana has probably been the most outreaching in terms of the countries in West Africa. And it happens to be the most safe, at least right now.
For now.
Yeah, that's what everybody, all my cousins, that's what they say. They're like, yo, go to Ghana.
Yeah. Go to Ghana. You want the West African feel, but you want to be safe?
Yeah, listen, I want to spend my money and I want them, you know, to increase their level of tourism, right? To be able to kind of help bring more money back into the community.
Into the continent.
Yeah, and then the continent. One, you know, there's two things it made me think about, Paige, when you talked about, and I totally agree, like you have to go open, right? Like I think the only thing I expect is to learn. That's my only expectation, or it's, I don't know if it's an expectation, but it's a hope. You know, I always want to come away feeling different or learning something about myself or about people. that will make me, that will enrich me as a person. So that's my expectation. But I will say, you know, there, I did live in London for a year, and it was interesting how I guess I had, there was this expectation of being Black. It's almost like I did this before. So I now learn you got to just separate. Mm. But, you know, here in America, I don't care what complex you are, or what spectrum you are, like you Black, right? And then you just create a community no matter where you are. You see each other, you kind of nod, you just know. Mm. And in London, it was so hard because it was so separate. Mm. And I was just, I remember going there and I said, okay, well, I want to go to like Black party. I just want to like feel where my people are. I'm like, no, the Jamaicans are here, you know, you know, the Nigerians are here and they don't mix. Right. So it's so interesting for me to even be in a place where I just wanted us, because I guess in America it has to be like, you just have to find your sense of community that it's not just about race. Right. Mm. And that was a whole nother layer that I wasn't even expecting. Wow. But yeah, no, we're really, so it's interesting when you're living in a place and trying to experience color and culture and how do you fit in? And then when you're visiting, what are the expectations?
Right. Okay. And it's, I like this because we're talking about growth and growing into the new normal of what is our blending cultures, right? Mm-hmm. And so I want to kind of talk about how we all survived a lockdown for about 18, 20 months, give or take a few, right? and you guys clearly survived, right?
Yes, together.
So how are you moving into a new norm, right? Like, you know, a lot of us was forced into work from home. Some of us have already been doing that. There's family, there's work, there's outside activities. How are you guys finding your new normal in the ever-changing variants of this pandemic?
I'll go first and say, listen, I feel blessed to have a home and a place and a relationship and a husband that make me feel safe. But it's been hard, you know, just think about this topic of travel, because it's such an integral part of my life, or at least it has been. And feeling like I can't really go new places has been super hard on me because I don't have an escape. I use it as a form of escapism and a way to rejuvenate. And I haven't had that time. Mm-hmm. And now in this world, I was like, okay, last year, things were getting better. Now I can start playing my big international trips, right? Like I want to go to Ghana. Like I want to like bring back this is our fifth year anniversary. Like we want to go back to the Maldives. You want to start pulling these things in and feeling like every time the world opens, it closes. Mm-hmm. I don't feel comfortable now traveling. And yeah. I feel like my world is shrinking. And I didn't realize how the impact it had on me until probably a couple months ago. And I was like, something's off. Mm. You know, obviously you miss your family. You can't see your friends. But I was like, there's something I'm not getting that I normally get in my life. And I realized it's the lack of travel and the newness of locations that take me to a place that transports me someplace else.
Right. That energy.
Yeah.
You like right. new energies, you know, and vibes. And that's not possible right now. So, I just try to do weird things like projects or try to create hobbies, like, you know, I don't know. And or move to different parts of the house and pretend like I'm somewhere else when I'm working. You know, it's like a new coffee shop. It's not. It's
the little, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So as
or something, you know.
So as you guys are moving forward, how does your planning change now, right? Like planning for new trips, because I know for us, we had to shut down so many trips because every time we tried to go, something got shut down.
Yeah.
Right. So how are you moving around different now that you're planning a new travel calendar?
Yeah.
And there are places you want to go.
It's trying to plan it by ear. You have to play it by ear because it's just really tough to actually plan things because you just don't know if it's going to be shut down or if the, you know, there's a new variant or, you know, the infections increase. It's kind of hard. So you kind of have more abstract planning, like, you know, around this time, let's see. And then, you know, hopefully you can buy a ticket, you know, if it seems okay, sort of safe.
I think, like, you know,
windows.
Always buy travel insurance.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's something I didn't used to buy it ever, but like I've now.
It's Jackie age.
Sorry about that.
No worries. So
we thought it was here.
I know. So I would say, you know, think about travel insurance. I think just do your research. So for me, it's all about being safe. You know, I had people in my family pass because of COVID. So I just, I also follow more news now and I research like the practices of the countries I'm thinking about. Yes. Right. And so it's looking at obviously like who's open, but yes, also looking at
the CDC
website. And then is that country, are people vaccinated? Are they yes. kind of, are they anti-vaxxers? Like, where does that fit? And how do, and then also the, I do more research into the safety of hotels. I don't just look at, this is a nice place to be. So yeah. then I look at like, what is their health? So like reviews. I look at, say, people, do they feel safe? Do they feel like they're following good health protocols? Mm-hmm. And then I think, you know, part of it's going to be, you know, as we're adjusting to this new normal is, you know, part of it's like finding new joy in local locations, right? I'm like, okay, we've always focused internationally. How do we focus more locally, potentially, you know, to get that same feeling? What's the feeling we want? And then what are the places I can do it? Mm-hmm. And then I think just, you know, we're going to have to move eventually. And it's like, okay, what are those new local places that you can, local-ish, right? I'm still traveling, but that might be fun and different. So, but yeah. what do you have for us? Because you guys been everywhere.
Yeah, y'all been everywhere.
I've been traveling. Y'all been traveling.
You are the ultimate organizers. We pay people to organize our trips. So
I mean, we do a little.
Don't
do that. We give us some credit. We did Aruba on our own. We got something coming up.
I'm paying somebody to plan my trips for me because the reason I said that, even if it's solo, like couples trips, right? Just the two of us, their job is to stay on top of the CDC warnings, the country warnings.
This is true.
And at the end of the day, it allows us the flexibility to do whatever, pay whenever, however we want, over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little spoiled. Most of my trips that I've gone on are planned for me. Right. Mm-hmm. Trips that I plan myself don't really go that well. Right. So it's one of those situations where if you could get if you can allot yourself that freedom of having a professional do it for you.
Or hop on a trip, a group trip that's already planned, itinerary, accommodations, all that stuff. Yeah.
And so, you know, it allows you to like be less stressed because, you know, our trip planner keeps us up to date with all the CDC guidelines,
mm-hmm.
the entry guidelines for the particular country in mind. Mm-hmm. And she created an entire itinerary for us
based on what we wanted.
You know what I mean? And so it's one of those where, you know, anywhere we go, she'll be like, all right, these are the things that are available. Which one of these things do you want to go to? All right, bet. It's all in one price.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and then even if we throw a couple extra bucks in there, she'll buy our flights as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is a one-stop shop that we're, and not just her, a couple of other people that we interviewed that are travel agents as well.
Yeah.
They'll cover the entire thing for you. You tell them, I want 5 countries in 2 weeks. They'll set up 5 countries in 2 weeks mm-hmm. for you.
Wow.
Know? Yeah.
So that's kind of my cheat code to traveling because, and then there's other, like Groupon, there's One Gateway, which is like a bundled travel agency where if you want to go to Eastern Europe, flight and hotel run you $1,200,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. And then there's involved in the whole process. So there's so many different options that you have, but it really depends on what you want to do. Like, it sounds like you want the nitty gritty. I want to do it myself. I will join
because
your
it's
trip.
A part of the euphoria yeah. for you.
I will like, join your trip.
You say you're up at 4 or 5 in the morning and you're researching and it doesn't feel like work and you're not tired. So that part is invigorating for you.
Like for me, I was like, I could have someone do it for me, but I actually was like, no, but I
like
I
that part.
Do it. Yeah, she loves doing it.
Because
yeah.
the thing is like when I travel, it's my mind goes somewhere far because I'm always going to go somewhere. Not always. Most of the time it's somewhere beautiful. So I'm like, oh, it's so beautiful. Why is it so beautiful? And then my mind just starts to like, just, well, what's really there? That's so exciting that I should check out. Oh yes. And I just get geeked out every time.
It's the win. Yeah.
It's the win. So you know what? So I think that's the part of the process for me. And it's like, and now I'm thinking about like, how do I find the joy again? Where are the places that are going to excite me? Mm-hmm. You know? And
so with that being said, right, let's give, I mean, I'm hoping you're willing to share some of your special sauce with the audience, right?
Yeah, let's get some tips.
What are some give me five top travel planning tips for a person that just saw the show and you guys inspired them to travel? Like, as a beginner, what are some things that they should start doing?
Or advice, you know, tips, so, advice. Mm-hmm.
First piece of advice I always give somebody, and this is less for a specific trip, but it's a lifestyle and it's enabled us to travel, is I have a vacation savings account. Mm. So starting back when I was 22, I take money out, just like you say, you pay yourself first, you take your savings, I pay my vacation account and I don't touch it, and it's in another bank and it just sits there. And, you know, listen, you could start with thinking about how much you want to spend for the year, but it could be like $100, you know, just start somewhere. So that way, when you see a good deal, you can jump on it. And most importantly, a lot of times what happens is we travel someplace, you spend more money then because you're there, you want to have a good time, and then you come back and now you're broke. You gotta wait till your next paycheck because you now, like, you're kind of off of your schedule. When you have this account, you can tap into it, come back and feel normal. It's the best. It's been the best thing. Like it's a longer term thing, but a thing that pays off. In terms of travel, I always look for chips, right? So one is that I always, TripAdvisor is my best friend. TripAdvisor is my best friend.
That's a good one.
I always look at reviews.
Yes.
So, okay, listen, Travelzoo is great. So you get to see the top 20 hits. I don't know if it still opens on Wednesdays, but you got to get there early. So the best deals are always early mornings. You got to be a person who's like, find these like travel like deals.
Yeah.
And you get them early because they sell out quick. The other thing of it is like my flights, you got to look at, you know, for TripAdvisor, Kayak? They have a ticker that tells you whether or not like a price you should buy or not buy. Because what they do is they now tell you
the average
price. Price and whether or not they expect to go up or down. Mm-hmm. Oh, search for stuff in incognito. So what the biggest thing that a lot of these sort of travel companies, especially online, have done is they look at your travel history. So you're dreaming of a place. You go, and the price keeps rising. You're like, oh my God, I need to buy it now.
Right.
No, you don't. They've been tracking cookies, and that's why the price is going up. So go onto your browser. If you have Safari, click incognito, which pretty much means they can't find
Google. Google's incognito.
Yeah, Google. And what's
it? It's in private.
Or just clear your cookies. Clear your cookies.
But the point of it is it allows you to really see the true price of the hotel. And I encourage everyone to read the reviews. I know sometimes we see the stars ratings. If you go to like Expedia, you go to those places. You want to read the reviews. So I'm a foodie. And I like, if I'm traveling somewhere all inclusive, I'll need to have top shelf liquor. And I want to make sure it's safe. We talk about it's COVID. Look in TripAdvisor. Start to read. Don't just read the fives. Read the ones, the two stars. See if it's at a picky traveler. And you can be like, okay, you're just picky. Or if you keep seeing people saying, hey, I see roaches everywhere. And hey, you know, I got sick. Or hey, you know what? You just may want to pass the hotel, even though it has a lot of ratings. What happens is over time, it might have been great, you know, 2 years ago, but during COVID, they might have let everything go, only got two restaurants open. Now you mad, you there and ain't got no food. So I encourage you to just go deep and read across the reviews. Is that helpful?
Yeah, absolutely.
Even the stars, a quick thing is I usually look for at least 1,000 stars, and then I can start to trust it around 1,000.
Oh, reviews. 1,000 reviews.
Yeah. I just look at it and go, all right, they got like, you know, I don't know, like a bunch of 5 stars. If it's more 5 stars or 4 stars, whatever it is, it's the most of, 9 times out of 10, when you have that much of a sample, it's usually pretty right. But yes, do go down and read the reviews for the nitty gritty details, because there are certain things that might be important to you that others, it might not be. Then also, I think on Tuesdays, I like to buy tickets on Google Travel. So Google Travel kind of like is an aggregator. And so therefore you can kind of get all the tickets. You don't have to kind of go here and there, but just like Kayak too. Yeah. But
Hopper does that as well.
Yeah,
so you can do that on Hopper. Hopper allows you to freeze the price based in time. Yep.
Yeah. Your credit card. That's another thing. I use points a lot, and you got to get creative with points because sometimes you can swap points. So there's credit cards and you can like move points from airlines across airlines, or you can move from hotels to places. So just, you know, if you're going to be spending the money anyway, and we're now in a place where, you know, there's a cash shortage, or what they're saying, like, you know, maybe leverage your credit card as a way to build points for travel.
Right.
Responsibly. Mm. Responsibly. Responsibly.
Yes, yes. Don't spend money you ain't got. Because but that's how we, honestly, that's how we booked our hotel for our wedding. We were like, okay, what hotel? We were looking down. We were like, you got to be thoughtful. Like, okay, you know, there's got a lot of people who are going to be staying in a hotel. You're going to get a lot of points for this. Mm-hmm. Okay. In that, for example, Bonvoy. Bonvoy is probably one of the biggest like hotel conglomerates for you to gather points. You can start say, oh, well, now I can see I could stay at the Ritz-Carlton. Where are the places I could stay and how many points? You're like, oh, this is great. So, you know, if you're planning any events, so you're doing it, hosting anything, start to, you know, and if you can, I mean, listen, I love boutique hotels, but if I know I want to stay for a big trip, I might start staying at a Hilton or Marriott and gain points that way, so then I can use it to go someplace else.
Yeah.
Nice, nice.
Good tips. Good tips.
That's amazing. So what you guys got going on that people might want to start either following you or, you know, check out what you guys could be producing soon?
I mean, you could, I guess, hit me up at The Real Dane Day on Instagram.
You don't even remember the Instagram.
Yes. Mine is going to be more altruistic. So I am sort of part of an organization that's pushing the Crown Act, right? Which is about sort of making discrimination against our people to be able to wear our hair in our natural states to make it illegal. Mm-hmm. So I encourage everybody to go to the Crown Act and sign a petition to make sure it is illegal in your states. That's you can follow. Yes. You can also follow me in Benice0817 on IG, I guess. I'm maybe doing something. But I want to leave you with an idea. The most impactful trip I've ever been on as a Black person was Brazil.
Oh, yes.
So mm-hmm. I would like to encourage everyone to go to, everyone talked about Rio, but Bahia.
Yeah.
Right? Bahia. It's the third largest Black population in the world. And when you are in this city surrounded by Blackness, but also in South America, it was eye-opening because you're literally there because a lot of slaves came through there. So I kept thinking, like, I'm sitting there and like they literally take you to the blocks where our ancestors were sold.
The slave blocks. Yeah.
And I was there thinking I could have easily been Brazilian.
Yeah. Right. More of us. There's 20 million versus what, 2 million? I think to America, there's 20 million to South America.
But it was interesting because first of all, you're there and you could just feel like, man, I could have, like, you feel your ancestors there, right? I could just feel it. Even the food, like it's very much like linked to Nigerian food and to like West African food.
It was.
Mm-hmm. But it's also this piece of place where in Brazil, you know, you have to travel safely. So it's not a place where you go bring in all your jewelry, right? You really kind of come more downscale just so you can kind of be one of the people, not make yourself someone who's open or inviting something else. But it was nice because people are just embracing themselves and embracing just life and just slowing it down and just feeling like, you know, I realized like, man, for the first time I actually felt happy to be Black American, like, because I realized that at least through affirmative action, which is not a great program, right, but it has done some strides for people. There are people, you know, when I think about who are in the favelas and they're like the fifth generation and they're never and you start to think about our people and like what my life would have been like had I been raised there versus had I been raised here and the opportunities I have or don't have, right? They weren't stripped of their religion or their language like we were, right? So they can space back and people can tell you, but there's other opportunities that we've gotten. So, you know, it's just a place that sticks with me as I think about what does it mean to be Black? What does it mean to be part of diaspora? What does it mean? Like, where could I have been? But also appreciate that country and appreciate where I am. So if anyone's just to someplace new and different,
beautiful place.
It's beautiful.
Culturally rich.
Yeah.
Very, very intertwined with Nigeria. Big time.
Yeah,
I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you. This was definitely an amazing experience.
Yes.
I appreciate you both doing this show. Mm-hmm. And hopefully I can see you guys back on for who knows, maybe another season. But with that, not with her, but
with me.
That should go be your missus. So you on right there next to you.
Right. Let's don't cut that out. But with that being said, thank you both for joining. Show you what a true
about. If it's real love that you want, I'll show you. you that and then some. So come on.